Continuing on In Focus this Monday morning, Troy Coverdale in for Brandon Peoples. Brandon will be back in next week. But we've got a full lineup worth of shows this week. Plenty of great conversation as we start the week with Dr. Sue Nelson with Kansas State University Veterinary Medicine. And as we talked in the last segment, a number of issues regarding hot weather as well as your standard summer issues for your pets. Something that maybe doesn't get the attention that we should be prepared for, loud, noisy events during the course of the spring, summer as well. 4th of July, of course, becomes one, but thunderstorms also can be a challenge for pets.
Yeah, well, if you're a dog owner who has a dog who has noise phobias, it does get your attention. So these guys are in a sheer state of panic when they have these phobias, and they can really hurt themselves trying to escape, go through doors sometimes and window screens. So it is something not to be taken lightly. So it is thunderstorm season, so a lot of these dogs have storm phobias. Thankfully, we've got a whole lot of different medication options. Some are prescriptions, some are not, and things to do to try to help ease that thunderstorm anxiety. So I would say if you know your pet has those thunderstorm phobias, contact your veterinarian, have medications on hand. There's more than a 50% chance of storms. I would give that medication ahead of time, especially if you know you're going to be at work that day when a storm might roll in, to have that on board to try to ease that transition. And then the 4th of July is just awful for a lot of these dogs. It's fun for us, but not so much for our pets. And it's actually one of the seasons where the most lost and runaway dogs happen, because they do. They run off. They're in sheer panic. They don't stop running. So again, it's going to sneak up on us. It's going to be here before you know it. So make sure you're speaking with your veterinarian. There's medications you can give throughout that time period when we're able to shoot off the fireworks to help ease that transition. I would keep these pets indoors. And during like the actual 4th, when it's really, there's a lot of fireworks going on, maybe keeping them in a basement with the window blind shut so they're not seeing the flashes, play some music or the TV very, very loudly, and have their medications on board to try to ease that anxiety during that night.
One of the things I believe is tough, though, in this situation is knowing that your pet is that sensitive. In the case of the noise affecting them especially, you don't know until it happens. And that's the that's the bad part about it. There's no way of communicating it beforehand.
Right. Sometimes you don't know. You may find out that first day when the first fireworks go off. And hopefully there's enough time to contact your veterinarian and get some medication. But if you can't, again, trying to get them into a lower part of the house, pulling those blinds, running the music really, really loudly, or the TV or the white noise or whatever you have, to try to drown out that external noise and remove those flashes. At least there's some things you can try to do at home for them.
Are you better going ahead and preparing that way, even without knowing whether your pet has that sensitivity?
It's not a bad idea to have things ready to go, because you may find out last minute, and it might be on a weekend when you can't contact your veterinarian or get any medications at that time.
Something else, and this came up late last week, and that is Milford Lake is among a number of lakes in the state where they have a blue-green algae watch in place. And that would be if you happen to be out on the lake, you're going to potentially see an algae bloom occurring. Pets are affected by blue-green algae, just as we are as humans.
Yeah, they are. And it can be deadly for them. So we want to keep, usually it's going to be our dogs we're taking with us. So you want to keep them out of those areas where the blue-green algae is. No swimming, because the algae is going to stick to their fur. They're going to lick their fur. They also, when they're swimming, they're going to ingest some of that water as well. Definitely try to avoid them drinking, not only Lake Milford, but a lot of these, you might have farm ponds, things like that, where you're taking them. If you see that kind of a blue-green scum along the edges, you need to keep your dogs out, because it can lead to seizures, liver failure, and death. So it's a very, very bad thing. So if you even think there's blue-green algae, keep your pets out of there.
What other challenges do our pets face when it pertains to bodies of water and the summertime?
Yeah. So a lot of times we're out fishing, And so we, this time of year, we remove a lot of fish hooks, most of the time from the mouth because they smell the bait. There's bait that smells good for the dog, and then they end up ingesting that fish hook. Sometimes they just inadvertently get caught up because they're nosing around, and we'll see them in other parts of the body, the foot or other parts of the face too. But the mouth, or even swallowing them all the way down to the throat, can be a really serious issue, especially with those treble hooks. They can be a booger to get out, so and be life-threatening, and expensive. So that can be an issue for some people with the cost of that as well. So definitely try to keep your bait out of the way. If you are out fishing, you need to keep an eye on your dog because they may find a hook or bait from previous fishermen that are out there as well.
That, or if they're running around a little bit, just even you might run into someone else who's getting ready to cast and isn't paying attention at where your dog is at the moment.
Exactly. So just be aware of your surroundings, be aware of where the bait and the tackle and everything is as well.
And where other people are included in that.
Yes. Yep.
We've seen Kansas State relax some of the coronavirus restrictions here over these last few weeks. Once again, gatherings are starting to be allowed on campus. Any changes to what's going on in Vet Med right now?
Yeah, so we've been able to allow clients back into the building. That's a good thing because it's always scary just to drop off your pet and not be able to be in with them. So we have appointments where people can come in. They can be there with their pets. We still have drop-off appointments for those who work, and that works better for their schedule as well. So, yeah, it's a good thing. Masks are optional. So we see a blend. Some people are wearing masks, some are not. And I would say, feel free to ask whoever is working with you if you would like them to wear a mask. And so if that makes you more comfortable, that is not going to be a problem.
That, as well as just the fact that you still are doing some of the other services that were put in place because of coronavirus. I know, still doing check-in outdoors?
Not so much. Most of it is indoors now, but there can be some drop-off for people who need to have that done.
Okay. Final thought from you again as we talk about those hot temperatures. One more reminder that you've got to really be prepared and make sure your pets have the water and the food they need.
Exactly.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Dr. Nelson. Appreciate your time this morning. We'll look forward to catching up with KSU Vet Med again next month.
Great. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Dr. Susan Nelson joining us on the line this morning from KSU Veterinary Medicine as we do this every month as part of In Focus. As we continue, an event coming up tomorrow that is through an organization known as the Alzheimer's Foundation. They'll be holding a sizable conference tomorrow with a number of great tips that are out there for you as well. We had the opportunity to talk with their president and CEO a couple of weeks back, and we'll play you that interview coming up in just a few minutes ahead of their conference that takes place tomorrow online, but a opportunity to learn more about the ways that you can help if you have a family member that is fighting and how they can help as well, a family member that is fighting Alzheimer's. And then we'll spend a little time talking with the guy on the other side of the glass as Dave Lewis marked a anniversary late last week here at KMAN. As I said on the morning show, that we were going to turn the tables on Dave this morning. He wanted my life story. Well, we get to talk his radio life story a little this morning. That when we continue on KMAN's In Focus.